Good evening. I'm continuing, and tonight is going to be the last chapter in faith and confidence in Hashem. But I want to start with a few words about the parasha. Yesterday, it's a parasha that's significant, faith in Hashem. We see a person, Korach, that everything he needed in his life. He had the wisdom, he had righteousness, he had wealth, the wealthiest person in the entire country, the entire nation. And for an argument about pride and about possessions, positions, he basically lost everything. The Gemara writes that the Chachamim were arguing if Korach, after his hell, after he will finish his hell sentence, if he will have a part of the world to come or not. So some of the Chachamim say yes, some of the Chachamim say no. The question is, what is the source of the argument? Because if he was wicked, as we all saw, he ended up as a wicked person, even though he was righteous until one point of his life, just the fact that he made such a big machloke with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he persuaded 250 chief rabbis of the generation to come with him and make such a revolution and such a fight, he ended up as a wicked person. So the Gemara says, because his sentence in hell was to scream, Moshe emet v'torato emet. Moshe is true and the Torah is true. And everything he said is his Torah. I told you last week, as the Korach built up a beautiful case to convince all the people, with the case of the widow, with her two daughters, the orphans, how she had a field, and comes Moshe and Aaron combined together. Almost everything she did, they take everything away from her. The wool, the firstborn, the wheat, you know, all kinds of rules. And he built it up like Moshe made it up himself. But we have to understand, because remember, the entire country, we are talking in a situation that they already saw that God nominated Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader. So it's hard to understand why, after everybody saw that Hashem nominated Moshe to be the leader, and Hashem said that Moshe is 100% faithful, and he's honest, and he's decent, and he's humble, and all the rest of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu brought in the Torah, why they still were fooled after Korach to destroy their life and eternity. And the point is that we see one interesting thing here. People asking, how is it possible that in the old days when we read in the Torah, that a portion of the nation of Israel were able to worship idols? How is it possible? If you take a person today, a secular Jew, that does not believe in anything, and tell him, here is an idol, come bow down to the idol, the chances that he will agree to do such a thing is close to zero. It's almost impossible. Who believes in idols? I mean, yes, it's hard to believe, but in the East, China, India, all these places, people worship idols until this moment. But in the modern world, in Europe, in the United States, in Israel, in Arab countries even, nobody really worship idols. And this is today, when we are nothing compared to the generation 3,000 years ago in our level. So how is it possible that people go and bow down to the idols, and some people took their babies and throw them inside the fire to sacrifices to this idol, knowing they built the idol? Doesn't make sense. So what do we see from here? That every generation had a different test than the other. Each generation has certain things that were very difficult for them. For instance, in the time of the Torah, we see that a lot of people, even though they heard Hashem, even though they heard, they were standing around the mountain when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, right 40 days later they made a golden calf. Even though it's the Egyptians really that initiated everything, but still, this is people that 40 days ago heard a conversation between Moshe and Hashem right there. They fall into that trap and made a golden calf. But the part that a lot of people don't really know is that the golden calf was speaking. And the golden calf was doing all kinds of things that if it would happen today, even today people would be fooled by that. It wasn't just a statue that people then surrounded and bowed down to it. He started to speak, I'm the God of Egypt, I'm the God that took you out of Egypt. I'm your God. And the people were wondering, what's going on here? Yes, before we heard it, we didn't see any picture. Maybe the way to worship Hashem, to worship God, is through that thing. Whatever it is, we don't really care. We want to connect to Hashem. In the times of the idols, it's not that people really thought that the idol, he's the one who makes the magics. That actual idol from gold that they just made, he's going to save my son, or he's going to save my parnasa, or anything like that. The people just had the thought that you have to connect to Hashem through something. And that something had a strong power, that's called Avodah Zarah. Came Chazal more than 2,000 years ago, and they saw that people cannot resist this temptation, and they fall into this desire, and they cannot overcome the test. Chazal, with their power, canceled that Yetzer Hara, canceled the test. They say, no, you cannot do it. Why? Because people could not handle such a test. It was very difficult for them. Chazal bitlu ta Yetzer Hara shel Avodah Zarah. They canceled the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. But the more miracles you see, the more resistance the Satan gives you against it. In other words, even until today, people don't really realize, but we see today miracles that are unbelievable, almost in the level of the Exodus of Egypt, almost. Like with what's happened with Israel, with so many Arabs, close to 2 billion Arabs around us for already so many years. Every second they plan how to destroy us, and they're trying, and they're walking day after day, night after night. Millions of people are planning how to destroy the nation with 5 million Jews over there. It's hard to believe. It should have been gone way, way, way back to begin with, all the miracles that are happening. People got used to it. Talking about 39 Scud missiles that fell in Israel, one of them fell in the center of all the gas, and a week before they moved to the new station. That means if they stay there, the entire Israel will go on fire. So many miracles, but the people always have explanation. Oh, coincidence, that's the way it should be. And in the beginning, people are impressed. But right after that, they begin to have second thoughts. And who brings the second thoughts is the Yetzer Hara. So it is all about the test. We see with Avraham Avinu that the Torah says, "Va'ayi achar hadvarim ha'ele va'elokim nisa et Avraham." After whatever the conversation and all that, what the Torah described, Hashem comes again to Avraham and tests him. "Elokim nisa et Avraham." Nisa means nisayon. Mas ze nisayon means a test. So I'm testing you, playing with you, hide and seek. I'm telling you one thing, and then I'm hiding. And then you begin to think, oh, I'm gone. And you start losing the feeling that I'm around you. So I want to tell you something. When you ask a lot of people, what's the purpose of life? More or less, you're going to hear different answers. To learn Torah, not to waste time, to do a lot of mitzvot, to do gmilut chasadim, to gain as much as points as you can gain. It's all correct. Everything is correct. But what is the, if you can point on one thing which is the highest above everything, it's to search for Hashem and find Him, and from this moment on to make sure that every second of your life you glue to Him, like when you glue something with crazy glue, you cannot take it out anymore. This is the test of life, but this is the hardest thing in life. But it's only very difficult in the beginning. It could be a point in the life of a person that he proved himself, like Avraham Avinu. From this moment on, he's out of the darkness into the big light, and his life becomes sweeter in spiritual way than anything you can imagine. And that's even before we are going to the spiritual world. We are talking here, a person can achieve such great pleasure, such great feeling by elevating his faith, confidence, and recognizing that every little thing that happened to him, mamash, is the hand of Hashem. However, and a person starts to make repentance and he's starting to change his ways, he's very far from that level. Because in the beginning, he thinks that a lot of the things that are happening, it's either him or his people around him, and somebody helped him and somebody ruined it for him. But the idea of the person to understand is something that we always say, En od milvado. There is nothing by God. Everything you see, it's really a cover-up. It's an illusion. It's another layer and another klipa and another shell and another thing just to hide the power that moves everything around. And the goal of a person is to recognize a little more and more and more until you get to the source, to the root. And that's when you see who pulled the string, which is Hashem. It may be one day the guy that works with you in the office, he is the one who ruins your parnasa. The next day it can be somebody on the road. The next day it can be a bank that decided to do something and you're out of business. There's always somebody. But all these people really are like dust in the wind. They look real. You think that they did something, but they really did nothing. It's Hashem is doing it, and Hashem is putting a new custom every second in your life. One time he comes like a goy, one time he comes like an animal that did something to you, one time he comes like your brother that you promised you something and he did not fulfill what he promised. Hashem has millions of ways to cover you, but the idea for you is to know no matter what you get is really not that person. Now, once you get to this level, it's very, very difficult from that moment on ever to be depressed or upset. A person that gets to this level, the chance that he will get ever again in his life upset or angry, it's very, very low. Why? Because when Hashem is speaking to me and I recognize the message that he sends me, do I have the guts to argue with him, to complain to him, to tell him you're not fair? You're not judging me fairly, you're not right, you're wrong, you miscalculated the punishment that I deserve. Who's going to say it to Hashem? Why we are always complaining? Because we are connecting to Hashem through a middleman, and that's a big problem. That's already Avodah Zarah. The mind of a Jew, once a Jew knows that I am aiming to Hashem, but there's somebody on my way, which means it's this messenger, or that rabbi, or that postman, or that neighbor, or through anybody, doesn't matter. Once you are aiming to Hashem through someone, that automatically shows Hashem that your level is very low. When the Torah comes and tells us, "Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha," you should love your God. First of all, did you ever see? Yes.
You just said that no one should be in our way to connect to Hashem. Talking about Korach, who claimed that everybody is holy and there's no need in Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that a contradiction?
No, there's never in the Torah any obligation to connect to Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu. Not at all. The prayers of all the people are going directly to Hashem. And whatever happened, they have to know is Hashem 100%. But Hashem put Moshe Rabbeinu in charge to give the orders, to be the delivery guy. He delivers the messages to the nation. Why? Hashem wanted to show you, first of all, that not everyone is in a level to speak to Hashem. You know, yes, you can speak to Hashem, but when Hashem comes and speaks to you face to face directly and you hear his voice or he gives you a direct message, you have to be in a special level. If you're not in that level, you can scream until tomorrow. It's not going to help. So now, since we are not in a level to speak to Hashem, in the old days we had Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us what Hashem said, and today when we don't have Moshe, we have his letter that he left us, the Torah. That's it. Without the Torah, we would be really lost. If we wouldn't have today the Torah, the maximum we could get is to the level of Avraham Avinu that recognized there's a creator and there's something here, somebody here that puts the order, and there's a purpose for the creation. What is the purpose of the creation? We wouldn't have any idea. We wouldn't know. We may think that the purpose of the creation is to try to make money, or to be healthy, or to get married, or to enjoy the materialistic world. We would never know. And how do you see that there's a complete confusion in the world? Because most people are not aware of the Torah. Most people in the world, maybe not most, but a large portion of the people in the world do not live with the Torah. They did not raised based on the Torah. Their education comes from different sources, not from the Torah. Therefore, these people even live 60, 70 years of their life with such a doubt, and they don't really understand one dot of what they have to know or to do here in this world, whether they're Jews, whether they're not Jews. They live 60, 70 years, and they really don't know where they have to head to. I say once in a lecture, in order for you to get direction, to get somewhere, first you have to know where you want to go. And since you never open up the Torah and you didn't learn what, where Hashem is directing you to, you do not know where you have to go. Since you do not know where you have to go, we have a very serious problem. You don't even need a direction because you don't really know where you want to go. Once you first recognize what's the goal, and the goal is, I'm repeating it again, the goal is to aim, to be, stick, to glue, direct, attached to Hashem. How do you get to it? It could be years and years of very strong work, day after day, night after night. So let's give some advices, how can we reach this level? One of the ways to do it, first of all, is to fulfill the obligation that we say every day, three times, Kriyat Shema, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, we should love your Hashem with all your heart, with your evil inclination, with your good inclination, the Yetzer HaTov, the Yetzer HaRa, with all your money, with all your soul, with your life, you're willing to give up your life. Very few people reach that level. It's not that an easy, it's not such an easy thing. When you tell a person you die for the sake of Hashem, to sanctify the name of Hashem, not that many people will take it with understanding. They will try to avoid it, they will beg for their life, they will offer to do something else. Not that fast a person jump into the fire. But we had people throughout the years that not only they did it, they were very happy and they felt honored that Hashem chose them from the entire nation to sacrifice their life to show the world that there's Hashem and there's truth. We have nothing to be afraid of. And if Hashem told us, do not do it, do not bow down to the idol, it doesn't matter what's going to do. What they're going to do? They're going to chop your head off, they're going to throw you into the fire. You know, you left this world 100% righteous. Why? You did not give up your truth, you stuck to the orders, and that's it. The rest is not in your hand. You're not going to do it now. If Hashem wants, I take you tomorrow in different ways. It's a no-win situation. Yes, of course. You can say, no, I'm not interested. Abraham could say, I'm not interested to slaughter my son. Because I don't think it's fair. After so many years that I didn't have children, finally, after more than 90 years, I finally had one boy. You already promised me that I'm going to have a boy to continue my way and inherit me. And so far, you did not fulfill your promise. Now, when you finally fulfill your promise, you want to take it back from me? With all the respect, I'm not interested. And I don't think it's fair. And if you, the God of the justice, which you told me, go tell all these fools, do not to the goyim over there, don't sacrifice your children to the idols. Now you're coming to me and tell me to do the same thing? What's the point here? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. I can only understand common sense. Now you're talking to me against common sense. I'm not interested. He could have said it. What would be the outcome? He would not probably know that much about him anymore. He would not be such a great hero because he will fail the test. The idea that not only he did it, it was against his common sense, it didn't make sense to him at all. He woke up early in the morning and ran to do the mitzvah. And that's why it's so great. Because when someone cancels his own personality and own understanding just to follow the orders, that's a very high level. Very high level. Why? Because the way the evil inclination fools us all the time is making us too smart, which means it gives us great ideas. What do you need to do it that way? I have a better solution for you. Here, do it this way, do it that way, make a partnership, make a contract with the goy will do it. Who wants to lose so much money? It's not fair. You gotta use your head. You know, the Torah is not interested, you're gonna lose money. All kinds of great ideas. And in the end, we lose the direction. And we do it based on our own understanding. But the understanding of Hashem is always above us, and we not always are capable of seeing it, at least not for the time being. So there's two ways to love Hashem. Pay attention now to what I'm saying. The first way, Chazal said, there's two kinds of love. A love that depends on something, and a love that is unconditional. It does not depend on anything. What's the difference? A person meets his future wife. He wants to marry her. And the reason he wants to marry her, because he's not exactly a genius, and he didn't check the right things that needs to be checked. One thing he did check, that she's beautiful. She looks nice, he likes the way she looks. I'm with it. Rabbi, that's the shidduch of my life. I have a very strong feeling inside. I'm sure, I promise you, Rabbi, believe me, there's nothing even to check. this girl is such a tzaddeket, doesn't even know her name hardly. He just saw that she has nice hair or something, you know. He's not really using his head that much. So now, he found something that he liked in her face, image, body, you call it whatever you want. Or maybe he likes that she's wealthy or she has a good job, whatever. But the problem is that his connection with her was standing on something, which is, it's a dependable love, dependable connection. Once that something disappeared, for instance, if he liked the fact that she's a slim girl, she's really skinny, you know, thin, and one day she gained weight, that the only thing that connected between them disappeared, there's no more connection. The relationship ends right there. Or if he loved that she has a lot of money, but then eventually he either got used to the money or the money never came to him as he expected, then automatically the thing that makes connection disappear, there's no more connection. Sometimes a person can realize that his relationship with his wife is really an illusion, but by the time he finds out, it can be after having two or three children. And now he's stuck for the rest of his life because he feels bad for the children and he doesn't want the children to grow up without a father or with her. So it's a complicated situation, and the life of a person is basically ruined with 1 minute bad decision. Then there's another thing to check. There's one more thing to check is there's a kind of love that's called undependable love. Which means, I feel there's this woman, she's righteous, she has all the great skills that the Torah recommended by a woman, and other than that, all the other things, I think it's a match. And now, because the connection does not depend on anything materialistic, not money, not beauty, none of these things, then there's nothing to be disappeared. It's always going to be there. The spiritual connection is something whether you have it or you don't. If you have it, you have it. If you know you don't have it, you may be able in the future to get it, but you what you already have, you have. And what happened is that when we come to connect to Hashem, there are two ways to connect to Hashem. One level is that we always becoming religious and righteous, and we make repentance for one reason, and this is, by the way, in my opinion, more than 90% of the religious people in the world, not only in Judaism, in all religions, those who believe in God, they always have, this is the method that is working. You're giving me parnasa, so I have to pray to you, I have to be faithful to you, I have to be grateful, I cannot be ungrateful. Why? Because if I'm going to be ungrateful, you're going to take the nice things that you gave me. So I'm afraid to lose it. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my car. I don't want to lose the wealth that I got. I don't want to lose all the great things that Hashem is giving me. I appreciate what He gave me. So it's a combination of fear and plus, as long as you're giving me, I owe you. That means it's a love that depends on materialistic giving. Once Hashem one day decide to check the person to test him and take away all his wealth. One day wake up in the morning and he realized that somebody took away all his wealth, or they cheated him, or the company that he invested in collapsed, and he's going nuts. What am I going to do? I have payments to make. Where do I start? Runs around to the rabbis like crazy. He's crying. My life destroyed. Some people unfortunately even kill themselves in situations like this. So the situation is, once Hashem took away everything, that most likely will be the end of the relationship between this person to Hashem, because the only relationship was based on give and take. You understand? And that's a very low level. Even though it's a very low level, it's a start. And after a while, if a person starts in this way, after a while, Hashem opens him a window or a door for him to see that that's not the connection and relationship that Hashem is interested in. Hashem is not interested in such relationship. As long as I'm giving you, you'll be religious. The day that I decide to test you, you kick me and you leave. No. And where we learn it from? From Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, at one point of his life, was the leader of the entire country. Everybody knew him, all the kings. As you read the story in the Torah, you have thousands of camels, cows, sheep, slaves, servants. What else do you want? A person has all the wealth in the world, successful, smart, healthy, you know, we have great life. And comes Hashem and says, leave everything and start walking to the direction I'm showing you. Leave everything. What do you mean, Hashem? It took me many years to establish my empire here. What do you mean, leave everything? Where is the common sense here? Again, the same test always repeats. And Hashem said, please start to walk. And he doesn't ask one question. People think that the greatness of Avraham is that he listened to what Hashem told him. Of course. But you will also listen to Hashem. You will also listen to Hashem. If Hashem comes to any one of you, even in the first day, the first week you keep Shabbat for the first time in your life, and Hashem comes to you face to face or talk to you in a ear, hello, Mr. Ploni, I have a request for you. Please leave everything you have here in New York. Don't touch it. Get on a train and go to the direction of China, to the place I'm going to show you. Right? You would also do it. Or you can go against Hashem. Hashem tells you, get on a train, the first train tomorrow morning, and leave. He did it. Don't take anything. Don't sell your house. Leave it. What about the payments? I'm going to collect interest and penalties. I'm going to lose my business. Who's going to open the store? You're not going to ask this question. If you ask this question, you got to be a complete fool. Hashem, I'm not talking somebody, a baba, that you went and paid him $100 to check in a card. What do you have to do tomorrow? If he tells you leave everything and go, then you have the right not to listen to him. But we're talking Hashem. Hashem tells you, hey, tomorrow first bus, first train. You get on a train, you get to the airport, you go somewhere. That's it. And disappear. I believe everybody would do it. Everybody would do it. So what's so special about Avraham? What's special about Avraham, and this is what you have to put the highlight on, that always what Hashem told him was in a moment of his life that was against all odds, against common sense, and against what he promised him before. Remember, Hashem played with Avraham it's like a double game. In one hand, he comes and tells him, Avraham say, well, what's my life worth? I have no son to inherit me. This Arab one will inherit me. I'm not interested in such end. So Hashem comes and says, don't worry, your own son will inherit you, not him. And then finally he had a son, and Hashem said, I'm taking it away from you, 99 years old. Let's get rid of him. Doesn't make sense. It's almost a lie. Almost a lie. Why? You told me something and now you want to take it. It's a lie. Everybody else perhaps would say, excuse me, Hashem, no problem, I'll do whatever you tell me. But what about what you promised me? What about it? The highlight is that he did not ask. Keeping his questions to himself and say, Hashem knows the best, what's for me, I'm not going to ask any question. My brain, I keep it for myself. I'm not going to interfere with Hashem thinking. I'm not in that level to ask questions and ask Hashem, doesn't make sense, I don't understand you. Forget about it now. What do you want me to do? I'm going to do. Then here again, Hashem blessed him. You're going to have a lot of money and this and that. One day, Hashem said, forget about everything. Leave it and just go. Right? Of course, he took his wealth with him. He took some of it. But the idea is that you establish yourself in one place and everybody knows you. And then in this age, you start to go to a place you don't even know where you're going. That's a very big test. And the minimum he should have said is, excuse me, Hashem, what about being here? I'm making people religious. I establish myself a great reputation. I have a motel here. People are coming. They're learning about you. I give them bread. I force them to make a bracha. Thanks to the bracha, they know that there's Hashem. What about all the mitzvot I'm doing here? Not one question asked. That's Avraham Avinu. Now you understand why all three major religions all consider him as the foundation of the religion, monotheism. Believe in one God. Avraham Avinu is the founder of monotheism. Comes Chazal and says like this, once this something that connects you to Hashem will disappear, you really don't have connection. If you stay in this level, your relationship with Hashem is temporary. It's just a matter of time until in the first test that Hashem will give you, you basically would lose everything. Therefore, you must put all your efforts to move into the next step. If you don't move into the next step, you're ending up this life of yours in a very low level. You'll be very disappointed when you get there. That Hashem show you, listen, you always pray to me because you were thinking about your parnasah. And that's basically all your prayers was. If you connect today, what's the name of that machine that you connect to the brain in hospitals? It shows the, it measures the brain waves. You know, whatever. If there was a way to connect something to your thoughts and the machine display what goes into your mind when you pray, you'll be surprised. 99% of the people, most of the prayer is with one thought. Do I close my deal tomorrow or do I don't close my deal tomorrow? Will I get that house for the price I want or I won't? Will Hashem send me the $1 million in the lotto tomorrow or not? Will he give me the job I wanted? Will I pass the job interview? Will I make money? How many customers will come to the store? How much I'm going to get for it? All kind of, always about this. Parnasad, sometimes about health. But everything egoistic, pay attention. How many people really come to the prayer just to sanctify Hashem? Yes, parnasa, no parnasa, yes, health, no health, who cares? That's not my job to worry about it. I want to do what I was made for. What? To praise Hashem, to be close to Him, to show Him I'm a faithful son. Whether He gives me, whether He doesn't give me. If He gives me, I enjoy it. He doesn't give me, that means that's the right thing I have to, that's the right situation I gotta be in right now. I have a wife, beautiful. I don't have a wife, also beautiful, equally. It's difficult. It's different. It's easy to talk. It's difficult. No problem. If it's difficult, now you're earning. If it's not difficult, you're not earning. To earn reward, it has to be difficult. Lefum tzaragra, according to the sorrow, this is how much the reward that you're going to get. Yes.
Doesn't exempt us from the one?
I have to tell you something. The Torah says, "Akol bidei shamayim chutz mirat shamayim." Everything is in the hand of Hashem, except being righteous or wicked. Now, when a person has a mitzvah to find a wife and establish a home, right? So he must do some kind of efforts to hide himself in a box for 100 years, and then come to Hashem and say, "Hey, what do you want from me? You did not send me my wife into the box. I was hiding in the basement under the ground for 100 years. It was your job to send her through the window. I don't know. You make a tunnel and send her into my bunker over there." Hashem would laugh at you. "Who are you exactly? Are you Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? You want to hide in a cave and I'm going to make you a tree grow? When you be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, then you ask me why I didn't send her to you. But in the meantime, you're not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the minimum you had to do is to put some efforts." Now, this is the biggest question in life. How much efforts?
Exactly.
Oh. So there's a formula. It's not so complicated. According to your level of confidence in Hashem, this is the amount of efforts you have to put in every transaction of your life. Which means, if you reach a very, very, very high level, you never worry about tomorrow, about the payments, about if you're going to have food tomorrow or not, you're going to have money for Shabbat. You're not worried. I'm going to worry. Hashem puts me here. It's obligation to feed me. He doesn't want to feed me, I'll die. Who am I to calculate? It's for me. It's not for me. I'm going to lose. I'm going to make. Forget about this. You want me here? You want me in a test? I have to focus on my test. What's my test? To be righteous, to get close to you, to cry to you, to pray to you, to get to a level like the books always comes to the same point. To talk to Hashem as much as possible, every second of your day, whether you walk in the street, whether you're in a train, whether in your car in traffic, whether you're in yeshiva, whether you're in a house, whether you're with your children, you push it every 5-10 minutes of your life. That means your life, your entire life, you are glued to Hashem and thinking about Him all the time. If you get to this level, you are almost like David HaMelech, almost. So the point is like this. If that's the goal, what difference does it make if I'm rich or poor? Poor people can also talk to Hashem, can also learn Torah, can also think about Hashem 24 hours a day, except the time that they sleep. There's no limitation. Or to love Hashem. It's possible either way. Why? If you know that everything that Hashem does is for your own good, what reason you're going to have to be upset? Because it's painful right now? Because you're sick? Because you're lonely? Because you're bitter? All these feelings come from the same problem. No confidence in Hashem, no faith. Once you know that Hashem... Obviously, I'll give you an example. Take the person that suffered the most. anybody you know that really constantly suffer, non-stop, hospital problem, mental problem, parnasa, health, everything is wrong by him. Nothing that he does is successful, right? If that person, which is already broken to millions of pieces and his heart is dead, if Hashem come to him at one point of his life and tell him, listen, everything I do to you will get you to a very great place in the world to come. Keep up the good work. Don't give up. From this moment on, how is life going to be? Hashem, give me another one on my back. Take more of my money. Delay more my shidduch. I don't care. Whatever. You already told me it's for me. But when it's in the Torah, we're having problem to believe in it. But, listen, if Hashem would come and tell you directly, you believe it. But when you see it written in four, five, six different places in the Torah, that Hashem does it to you because he loves you, and he wants you to get closer to him, and this is the only way, and I repeat, the only way to get close to Hashem is with problems. If life is smooth, with no problems, no shake-ups, there's no way to get close to Hashem. Unless if you're such a Talmid Chacham and you sit and learn Torah non-stop, then it doesn't matter what your situation is. But most people are not like this. And the only time people have time really to start talking to Hashem and beg them when they need something. And when you don't need, that means Hashem gave you everything. When Hashem gave you everything, basically he closed the door for you. Why? Because you don't need him. You're okay on your own. When you're okay on your own, when you come after 120 years, Hashem said, look, for 120 years of your life, you only spoke to me 70 hours. That's it. 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, half a minute, an hour one time, adds it up like a month. Now, all your life, 1 month, you are connected to me. See your neighbor, the poor guy, 70 hours every week is connected to me, not all his life. So who is better now? The poor one, the lonely, the miserable, the single one, the sick one, whatever you want to call him, right? So the wealthy guy say, well, what's going on, Hashem? It's not fair. I gave a lot of tzedakah. I did this, I did that. Yes, but your heart was never purified. Why? Because it was never broken. Where does it say it? Today in a brief. You didn't hear in a brief today? Lev nishbar venitke, Elokim lo tifze. A broken heart, right? And upset, like sad, Hashem can never turn down. Always accept his words. Then the Gemara says, after the Beit HaMikdash destroyed, and that we don't have sacrifices anymore, there's only one way to get what you want from Hashem. What? The gate of tears were not locked. All the gates are locked. The gates of tears, when people cry in the middle of the prayer, or even when they talk to Hashem in the middle of the day, it doesn't have to be in a prayer. One very serious mistake that people think they make is, I have 3 appointments with Hashem a day. In the morning, it's a long appointment. Afternoon, 15 minutes appointment. Evening, 15 more minutes appointment. All together, about an hour and a half a day, I'm sitting together with Hashem in the appointment from 24 hours. Okay, now you may say he goes to learn an hour and a half. Okay, very nice. 3 hours from 24 hours, he's discussing some matters with Hashem. 3 hours out of 24. 3 hours out of 24. An eighth of the day only. 7/8 of the day, it's nonsense. Running after here, running there, talking nonsense on the phone, walking on the street, playing sports, sleeping, watching all kinds of dirty things. Most of his day is a waste. And this is 3 hours, assume he's praying 3 times, and assume he learns an hour and a half a day. Unfortunately, there's so many people who walk with yarmulke and they learn 1 hour a week on Shabbat, hardly, after the chulen, when 2 eyes are closed, and he's already in Olam Haba. He hears here and there a little bit of words here and there, so many people like this. So the question is, when a person lives like this and he's not in touch with Hashem, he loses the value of his life. So comes the Gemara says, you must get to a point that you will have the urge, and you'll be anxious to speak to Hashem as much. Now remember, when a person hears what I say now, he gets disgusted. He gets a little paranoid. He says, you know what? I don't want this kind of life. Well, for that I came to the world just to talk all day to somebody I cannot see. fine, I appreciate what he gives me. I'm not going to be ungrateful. Of course, I know we all appreciate. But now to waste all my time just to talk to him, whether I'm in a car, whether here or there, I have no nothing else in life just to do. This is what I came here for. But the point that people are missing is that is the biggest pleasure. It just takes a while to realize it. Why? Because if everybody would realize it right away and it would be so easy to understand, everybody would do it. Where do we see that this is the greatest thing on earth? We learn from the most successful people in history that were able in one point of their life to reach this level, and they testify, such as King David, Moshe Rabbeinu, King Solomon. They had all the wealth, success, ladies, beautiful things, wisdom, everything we dream about in million years that we may be able to get what they had in a short period of time. And what did they write in the end? Everything is nonsense. David HaMelech, Ani Kirvat Elokim Litov. To be as close to Hashem every second, not to waste a minute. Talk to him, talk to him. Now remember, in the beginning you feel you're talking to the wall. It can be a year, two, 3 years, you talk, you cry, you don't really see nothing. Still no parnasa, still no children, still no shidur, still things do not work according to your plan. But Hashem is registering every word that comes out of your mouth. He's waiting for the right moment. When he decides to act, before you even realize it's going to happen so fast, that you thought is going to be now another 10 years until I'm going to save money and until I'm going to meet somebody, until I'm going to buy a house. Before you realize, in a week you have everything. And sometimes when Hashem wants things to happen fast, we learn it from Yosef. Yosef, 12 years in jail. When Hashem decided to take him out, right away the Egyptians run. They may give him a haircut, bring him to Paro. Everything with running, running, running. A month later, he's the king of the entire world. A month ago, he was in jail. Think about it. A little immigrant sitting in jail, you know, by now he's 30 years old already. Who cares about him in Egypt? An immigrant sitting in jail, nobody even know why. Somebody, you know, put him in jail, Potiphar. 12 years he's in jail. One day when Hashem decides to make him the king, against all odds. Think about it. Just think for a minute. If somebody would be an immigrant from Mexico, would be in the United States in jail now, right? For 12 years. Why? Because he started to have, discussions with the wife of somebody from the White House or something. I don't know. From the Congress, maybe. And then one moment, all of a sudden, he comes out of jail. He comes, he speaks to the president. The next day, it's the vice president. Something like this. If you ask the average people in the world, what's the chances something like this will happen? Not even zero. Below zero, right? It happened? Yes, it happened. Why you have all these stories in the Torah? That Hashem said, remember, all you have to do in this world is forget about your status in the materialistic world. Put it aside. Focus on getting close to me. Another step. Push! Don't give up. Don't be lazy. Push it more. Push it more. Push it more until you make it. If you don't make it, you fail your life. You can be a big Talmid Chacham, you know a lot of Gemara, you know to give lectures, you know you maybe you have a lot of wealth, but you're not davuk bi, you're not speaking to me the way the Torah ordered you. Yes?
Now, before one finds his what should he do with the Talmudic statement of defining someone who has no wife as not considered ben adam?
That's if
one thing. On a more national scale, you don't have basic English now. A lot of mitzvahs are associated with Kavanah. How do we get close to Hashem without
Kavanah? Okay, let me tell you. You know, there are certain things in the Gemara. The Gemara says someone who is poor is considered like death. Right? The Gemara says someone who is blind is considered like death. Dead person. Someone who is deaf is worthless. There's a lot of expressions like this, right? One of the expressions is someone who doesn't have children is also considered like dead person. Or someone who doesn't have a wife is not complete. Okay, all those things are nice, and they're all correct. But you have to know one thing. Above all these statements, there is one truth that everybody aiming to the same truth. That when you come to this world and your goal is to get close to Hashem, or everything else does not bother you a bit. It only bothers the average people that they thinking, Kochi ve'otzem yadi, whatever I have, I'm a partner on reaching it. It's me and Hashem together. I did, and Hashem gave me siyata dishmaya. You hear it by the biggest rabbis. I have good siyata dishmaya in business. I'm a businessman, and Hashem is helping me in a business. It sounds very convincing. The truth is the opposite. Hashem does everything for you. You do nothing. Technically, if you see, I promise you, I met a lot of wealthy people in my life in lectures, or they came to ask me questions. You know, I saw a lot of people. And I found something very interesting. You may think that the wealthy people are very smart. That's the way it should be, at least, right? But you'll be surprised. The nonsense that comes out of the mouth, sometimes you wonder, how does this person manage such big companies? How this person got so successful? And then you remember, what am I asking? It's him, Hashem, they gave it to him. The point is that it's a very high level to be in this level, so wealthy, and to recognize it's all from Hashem. But the Yetzer Hara always tell you, you did it, and Hashem helped you. That's the way the people are thinking. You should have changed the way you think. Hashem did everything for me in order for me to get to where I have to be. Where do I have to be? The book be Hashem. Connect to Hashem 100%. And if I'm not, my punishment and my disappointment should be 10 times worse. Why? Because I have all the tools. I had everything. I have all the thing I needed to be close to Hashem, and I was not successful. Rather, somebody that hardly had anything, even a pair of tefillin he couldn't afford, and he had to beg someone to buy him tefillin. You had everything, and you can do so much, and you can open yeshivot, and you can give so much charity, and you had all the time in the world to sit and learn Torah, and you didn't do it. Now your guilt is so much greater, it's so much worse. Why? Because according to your situation, how comfortable you were, this is how you're going to be judged. So really, this week I was thinking to myself in yeshiva, everybody is afraid of Ayin Hara, Ayin Hara. People are dying from fear from Ayin Hara. Running here, running there, making all kinds of things to get rid of Ayin Hara. But I came to myself, I came to conclusion that it's such a foolish thing to do. Because by doing it, what are you really telling Hashem? I'm innocent, really. But everything that I have is because of Moshe and Yitzchak and Avraham and this. Because of them, I'm losing money. Because of them, that's my situation, right? It's true, Ayin Hara makes damage, don't get me wrong. It's in the Gemara, I cannot contradict the Gemara. But the same way that people always depend on the mezuzot, when things do not work good in life, 10 years, they have the same mezuzot, everything was perfect, making money, everybody is healthy. Then they made few averot, few sins, things started to go down on every, you know, field of their life. Who do they blame right away? Mezuzot. Before you check the mezuzot, did you check yourself first? Most of the time, no. Mom, what do you want from me? I understand, the mezuzot. Maybe the rain went into the mezuzah and erased one letter, and now my life got ruined. Maybe out of 100 scenarios, maybe it will be one time like this, and 99% will be the person's fault. I have a friend, Rabbi Schneid, he tell me, whenever people bring me the mezuzot and start telling me about the problem, before I open them up, I say, please, don't develop high expectation that the mezuzah is pasul. They are dying that the mezuzah will be pasul. Why? We're going to pay $50, replace it, and we're okay. Once they find that the mezuzot is strictly kosher, then they have to correct themselves. That's a lot more than $50. That's painful, you know. $50, you replace the mezuzah. You cannot replace yourself. You have to work on yourself. To work on yourself is very painful. It's not so convenient. It wasn't your plan right now. You planned a trip to Europe. Now you're going to have to see it and make tshuva. It's Elul. It comes in bad timing, Rabbi, the business. It doesn't fit with my plan right now in life. I have to finish college. I cannot send my children to yeshiva right now. It's too much of the money. All kinds of excuses. Yes.
Some people are not born to religious families, and very low compared to previous generations. So, and it's not our fault. So how do we expect to get close to Hashem?
You have to know one thing. The word, it's not our fault, it's very wrong. Someone was born to a non-religious family, it's his fault.
His fault?
Yes. Why it's his fault? Because in his previous life he was wicked. And the way he left life, Hashem put him in the same scenario to continue. From where he stopped, his test and fail. If he was righteous in his previous life, right, then he wouldn't have a test to become a Torah scholar. So Hashem put him in yeshiva since he's 2 years old, all his life, sitting to learning Torah. That wouldn't be his big yetzer hara. Since now, in his previous life, he was such a criminal, Hashem decided to give him another test, and because he was not modest with ladies, so he made him born in a village. You understand? And because he was this and this and that, he made two of his parents a chimpanzee, female and male. You know, that's the parents that are going to raise him. But if he was righteous, the chimpanzees would not be his parents. Understand? It would be the Rabbi X and Rabbi and Rabbits and Y. Because he was himself a chimpanzee, they made him parents like chimpanzees and put them together. Now we'll see you getting out of this situation. But at the same time that Hashem put him in an area of monkeys and he has to grow up in that atmosphere in a safari, at the same time Hashem sent him the help and the message and opportunities to start working on himself and get out of there. Problem is that it's not easy. You understand? Huh? Everyone has opportunities. You get the amount of opportunities based on your test in life. If you don't deserve opportunities because you had many, then you have 2-3 opportunities in lifetime. If you fulfill your opportunities, you pass the test, you succeeded in your life. You fail them, you live for nothing. Sometimes the person came to age 20. He will have one test in his life and the life is over technically. Past, yes. No, fail, his life is finished. Then now he's going to live another 60 years, he dies and come back again, or perhaps never come. That's what the Kabbalah book says. That sometimes in age 16, a person really finishes tikkun. So you may ask, so why does Hashem keep him another 60 years here, if he passed his tikkun, as a bonus? While you're here, I'm giving you a bonus, 60 more years to gain as much as more mitzvot as you can. But remember, when a person comes to this world, you see that every person is different than the other, which means each person has desire to different things. For instance, one person is desirous to lie a lot, to lie and to steal. He's not honest. He may keep Shabbat strictly, he may be a great donator, he donates a lot of money, he brings a lot of guests, I mean, he learns Torah. Other than that, he's a friendly person, he respects people, but he's a liar. He can't say the truth. It's very difficult for him. He fights with himself and he has to lie all the time. For no reason sometimes. He lies to himself. Sometimes they lie so much they even believe themselves. You wake them up in the middle of the night, he tells you the story he told his friend a week ago because he already believed in it. It's like psychological. So somebody like this, he has strong desire to lie because this is the way he left life in his previous life. His friend that doesn't have this desire, that means in his previous life, he corrected that already. That's why the Satan doesn't push him to lie that much or to steal. It's not his test in life. It's not his purpose of life. His purpose is maybe to put into Torah more and more hours as he can. That's really his test in life. That's why when it comes to Torah, he struggles, it's very difficult, he doesn't understand, he doesn't know the language, he doesn't have chevruta, it's difficult for him because he's tired, all kinds of things. Why? Because that's his test. So how do you know what's your test? Very simple. The thing that is the most difficult for you in life, that's the main reason why you came to this world for. So the biggest mistake that people make when they become religious, they do everything that they like to do, and it's easy for them. But the things that it's difficult for them, they neglect. And the truth is that it would be much better off for them to do a quarter of what they're doing, but it's difficult. It's better than to do 75% of the easy things, right? Because the easy things will come either way, because that's not really the test for. If it's easy for them to put tefillin, they may better off focus on Shabbat, because maybe that's hard for them, that's their test. Once they do that, the tefillin will come by the way. It won't be an issue. I once had a woman, she was willing to cover her hair, but she was not willing to wear skirt. Did you ever hear such a thing? So she started to go with covering her hair, right? With a shader, not shader, a hat, huh?
A handkerchief,
you know, completely covered, 100%. Not even a wig. But she walked with a pair of jeans. So I told her, listen, that doesn't make sense. Usually, everybody wear, first of all, skirts and jackets, you know, properly. And the last thing that comes later, they're willing to cover the head. Some of them start with a wig, later they get rid of the wig, fine. But to cover the head and not to wear skirts, that's something I never saw. Then I realized that her test is not to cover the head. She covered her head in her previous life. I guess the way she was dressed in her previous life, maybe she was wearing tight skirts or with slits or all kinds of other problems. That's why Hashem gave her this desire. It was very difficult for her. Very difficult, until I show her what happened to women like her after they leave the world. Once she started to read, she said, okay. She regretted that she came for Shabbat with her husband, you know. But now she already, that's it, she was in the trap. She couldn't run away from the truth, and that's it. Baruch Hashem, she's already many, many years modest and all that. But also, it brings me to explain something else. Some people are religious because of the fear from the punishment. It's also a low level. But the truth is that a person really doesn't have a way to imagine the punishment in a proper way. He hears, he reads in a Gemara, he reads in a Zohar, he reads in a Torah that Hashem is giving severe punishment for certain sins. But how is the punishment going to be, and what does it really mean 100%? Nobody really has a clear picture. It's very hard for a person to know. So it brings a person to wake up to do certain mitzvot, but only for a short period of time, because everything you get used to. In the first month, you may be panicking, wow, Hashem's going to cut me out of the Jewish nation or send me to hell or to Kafar Kela. Oh, it's terrible just from reading what I see here. I'm getting very nervous. I don't even want to think about it. But a month later, you get used to it as well. It's the nature of a person. You get used to it. It doesn't scare you anymore. It can scare you in the beginning. So that's why it's not such a positive way also. It's better than nothing. But that's only the ignition. It just lights something in your heart. If you're not going to take advantage on that moment of waking up and right away run into the direction of loving Hashem, you're not going to be successful. Because just based on fear is very difficult to be righteous. But I wish that we would have Yirat Shamayim out of fear than not to have at all. Right? That's the mistake a lot of people think. People say, I want to be religious only out of love to Hashem. It's also impossible. Because the Torah says, La'ava u'le'ira, to love and to fear Hashem. And the fear of Hashem is not the fear of the punishment, necessarily. It's the fear of the embarrassment. The embarrassment, which means, how can I do such a thing when my God, that supplies me with everything I need and all my demands and all my requests, how can I be such an ungrateful person with no shame and do everything against them and indicates that I don't love him? What's an indication of love? Indication of love is that when you feel that you connect to Hashem and you are glued to him and you love him very much and you appreciate what he does for you, this is right away supposed to remove you from the sins. Because you understand in your brain that the more sins you're going to do, that's the opposite transaction. On one way, you learn Torah, you pray, you cry to Hashem that you want to get close to him. Please open me the door. Please remove all the layers on my neshama. Get me from darkness into the light, that the sweet love, the sweet light that you describe in your Torah for the righteous people. And on the other hand, every sin puts you 1 or 2 or 10 steps away from Hashem. So you really contradict the purpose of your creation. In one way, you are climbing a few stairs towards Hashem, and just a minute later, you jump right back. and you go up and you go down and you go up and you go down, it never ends. So then you're a fool. There's no other word to describe you but a fool. A smart person goes aim to the right direction, not going 5 steps forward and then 10 steps reverse. Problem is that it's not so easy. So what? You have to know one thing. Whatever is difficult for you, and you tried and it doesn't work for you, there's only one way to do it. To constantly ask and beg Hashem, I know this is the right direction, I know that's what you expect from me, I know that's what I should have done a long time ago, but you see me, I'm trying, I'm failing, I don't like it, it doesn't bring me joy and happiness, please, first of all, help me to get there, and then to feel good about it, and then to purify my soul and my feelings. It's all about requesting from Hashem to give you the help and the merit to reach the place where you have to be. Without praying for it, you're not going to do it. That's a big mistake. People think it's a test like in math. 2 plus 2 is 4. You write 2 plus 2 is 4 and you don't have to pray for it. No. Even when you bang a nail to the wall, you have to pray to Hashem to make you successful. Because some people broke their finger when they did it. Or some people made a hole in the wrong place. Or anything like that. People think, oh, this is easy, so I can do it on my own. But this is very difficult, so I need the help of Hashem. That's kfira. You need the help of Hashem to move your fingers. You need the help of Hashem to think where to bang. You need the help of Hashem to know how to step, to breathe. You need the help of Hashem in every second of your life equally. For Hashem, there's no difference if to give you supply you with oxygen or energy to walk or the talent to think. Everything that it does for you, it's equal. It's not this one is more difficult. If Hashem wants you to make $2,000 a month or $2 billion a month, it's exactly the same difficulty for him. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. 2 million, 2,000, 2 billion, it's all the same. It's just a matter of decision. People think, now I don't have parnasa and I need $2,000 a month, but it's no big deal. You know, $2,000 a month, it's easy. I go to a few of my friends. Each one will sponsor me by a few, $100, and I'm going to work a little bit, and I'm going to make it, it's no problem. However, if I need $20,000 a month because I have a large family and a lot of expenses, now my chances are so much lower. It's nonsense. Naturally, you're right. Nature, but we're not nature, we're above nature. For Hashem, 2,000, 2 million, it's the same thing. You may think, in one day, how do I get 2 million? If Hashem wants, you get. And that's the point of all faith, what is about. People translate faith is how difficult it is to get it. How difficult. For Hashem, nothing is difficult. Nothing is difficult. If you're going to get to the right place where you have to be, things will work out for you. If not, you're fighting against yourself. Then, a love that is dependent on something, a person has to first recognize who is receiving that something from. When a person lives as a robot and doesn't pay attention to every act and every transaction on his life and he doesn't check it carefully, he doesn't recognize the greatness that Hashem is doing for him. He doesn't pay attention to it. And it's very difficult, almost impossible, to love his God real love. Why? Because he doesn't recognize it's from God. How is he going to make him love him? A person loves someone who does things for him and give him things. If he knows that everything I have is thanks to this person, I love him. But if he did not tell me that it's from him, not only I don't love him, sometimes I'm going to go and fight with him. I remember once in my life, I was having mercy on one person and I didn't want to embarrass him, so I wanted to give him tzedakah, but in a way that he won't know it's me. So we were making an arrangement that he will not know who gives him the tzedakah. And then one time this person did something so bad to me and I was eating my heart. I said, should I tell him? Should I not tell him? Because if I tell him, he's going to kill himself from the embarrassment. That somebody who sent you the money in such a way, you're going and do something like this against him. But the idea is like this. If a person knows who he's receiving from, he appreciates him. If he doesn't know, what reason he has to appreciate him? He doesn't know. When a person recognizes it's from Hashem, everything from Hashem, and Hashem doesn't owe you anything, remember, even to walk, it's a privilege. There's a lot of people cannot walk two steps, and you don't take things for granted, then every step you make, you love Hashem more than before. But when you don't recognize that it's a gift from Hashem, why should you be appreciative? Why should you think lucky? Why should you think Hashem loves you so much? You don't feel like that. So that's a rule. Then we continue. Every idea that you have, people may say, okay, Hashem give me the energy to basically exercise my ideas and to be successful. But the idea is mine. It's my talent. Wrong. Every idea that goes into your head comes also from Hashem, not from you. Everything to the smallest detail. First, it's easy to see the great things, like children, marriage, wealth. This is, people recognize right away it's from Hashem. But the little things, like a pair of shoes or a pencil that worth a quarter, how many times in your life you were lucky that I have a pencil? Or that I'm able to have a plastic spoon when I eat lunch? Plastic spoon, it's a penny, Rabbi. What are you making such a big deal out of it? Plastic spoon, Hashem sent it to you. I want to tell you something. The point is like this. We know very much what we need to do after what we heard tonight or the previous lecture, but it's still very difficult for us to wake up. So who knows now, after what you heard so far, from tomorrow morning or from tonight, how do I finally get to this level? What do I have to start doing? It's hard for me to get close to Hashem. I'm far away from Him. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel lucky. I don't feel the things that the Torah obligates me to feel. I don't feel in love with Hashem. I'm not sitting and thinking about Him. I don't have tears in my eyes when I think about Him out of excitement. I'm very far from the level of David HaMelech. So the question is, how do I get there? That's the question. The answer is, yes?
The mind follows the action.
That's true. You start doing things, then automatically your heart and the mind wakes up. But there's another way. It's very correct, but there's another way. Talking to yourself, talking to your subconscious, it's a big thing. Talking to yourself, don't worry, nobody will think you're crazy. Yeah, you're speaking to yourself, which means, like you, Moshe, right? Moshe, how long are you going to waste time? What about the Torah you accepted to learn in Rosh Hashanah? What about the Sefer Tehirim you promised? We got to do it. Why don't I do it, Hashem? Because I'm lazy. Why am I lazy? Because this is my nature. So I want to stop being lazy, because I understand that if I'm lazy, it keeps me away from you. But it's hard for me to stop. I tried a few times, it didn't work out. So I need your help. Please help me out. Not for me, for you. Aren't you interested that I'm going to be closer to you? Yes, you talk to Hashem. You talk to yourself. You talk to Hashem. You talk to yourself. Question and answer, until you're going to see a point in your life that it's going to open up in one shot. Once it's opened up, I had the merit to speak to some of the people that one day they saw the light. Once it opened up, nobody is happier than you. Nobody. Not the richest person in the world. The person who has anything you dream on is nothing compared to you, because happiness comes inside, in the heart. You know how many people are successful in the material world, but they're so miserable from inside. You have no idea how many. They will give everything to be happy. And there are people who have $5 in their pocket until the end of the month. That's how they're going to spend the rest of the month, but they are happy, joy, happiness, smiling. Their life is full. Why? They learn Torah. They know that every day of their life they're getting one step forward towards Hashem. They're preparing the world of the eternity. They're sticking to the truth. They walk in the street. I have a friend, which is in our yeshiva. He learns in my shiur. And he went now on 2 weeks to Florida. 2 weeks trip. He had something to do over there with somebody else. They went on a mission, on a mitzvah. But you know what it is. The idea was like this. Oh, we're just talking about him and he's calling. It's hard to believe. Here, his name is Isaac, and it's right there. You can check on the phone. He's calling while I'm talking about him. You understand? You see? From Shammai. Mamash kacha. So the point is, he went two weeks on to Florida, and he came back to the yeshiva. And the reason he went, because he told me before, I need a vacation, I need a break. I learned already, I'm 3 years here. I must get out. I need something to be renewed in my life. After 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, maybe 12 days that he was there, he came back to the yeshiva and told me, I can't believe it. If I had $1 million, I would pay $1 million a day to be here. If I had it, I would agree to pay $1 million to be here a day, not to be over there. And you know what? He was going to houses, mansions, people with Rolls Royce, with yachts, with stores, with money, with whatever you can dream. And he saw the way they live, these people, and he recognized one very simple thing. These people live in illusion. Every second of their life, it's a nightmare, but they're not realizing it. Every step that they make, they're digging themselves a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. Once they recognize that every step of their life was waste of time, they're not heading to the right direction, they live with no purpose, they do not know their direction. Whatever they feel that it's right to do, that's what they do. One day they do left, one day they do right, one day they get married and they get divorced, they leave the children, they marry again. Their life is such a mess. An emptiness, full of emptiness. Every 3 months changing a car, hoping that's gonna get me out of my misery. Outside in the parties, they smiling, they pretend that they own the world. Wow, with all the show that they make. But I promise you, inside they are lonely, miserable, empty, have no satisfaction, nothing. And what's the proof that I'm right? Bill Gates, right? Anybody is richer than him? So far nobody reached his wealth, no? They asked him a year ago in Israel, you the right person to, he was visiting in Israel, so the reporter asked him, you the right person to ask this question that everyone is asking. Is money bring happiness? His answer was absolutely not. It's convenience and nothing else. No happiness whatsoever. Because remember, happiness to the soul of a person cannot come from anything materialistic. It's a dose, it's like a medicine. It's a dose, it's a lie. You're getting the impression that it's bringing you happiness, and a week or two or a month later, when you realize it's not it, it's you're feeling even worse than before. You have to understand, it's like someone who takes drugs, the drugs get him away from reality for an hour, for 5 hours, whatever it is. But once he's back to conscious and he's back to the reality, his depression is even worse than before. And somebody once asked me the question, tell me, what's worse, to be a miserable millionaire or a miserable poor person? So everybody jumped, what do you mean? Of course it's better to be miserable rich. But the answer is of course not. It's better to be miserable poor. Much better. Why?
Why,
yeah.
So when you reach your goal for the money, you have nothing else to strive for.
Very nice. Once you already have millions and you're still miserable, you know you're a lost case. You will not reach happiness in this life. You have everything that a person dreams of. But once you don't have the money, you live always with the illusion that one day you're going to be like Mr. Whatever and your life will be so much greater. And that's why you invest in business and run around and buy and sell and try and run to another appointment with a dream, the American dream. I'm going to make it. Finally my life will be great, like this magazine, like this book, like this, that. And once you get there, a month or two later you realize that not only did not bring you to the real happiness that you were searching for, it made you even more empty, and you recognize that it's a world of lies. Everyone is a faker. Everyone stand on the stage and smile to the cameras. Everybody cheater over there. They cheat. Their marriage is destroyed. Their children is out of the way. What's the point? Just to have a lot of many millions of dollars in my bank account. How great. This is what my creator created me for. To save $50 million and have it in my account and walk around and feel that I'm the master of the universe and the world belongs to me and nobody will tell me what to do. And that period of time, all these years that he got, all this money, and he felt comfortable, and he wasn't worried about his parnasa and wealth, it got him very, very far from Hashem. So really, everything was against him, not for him. When he comes to Hashem with his neighbor, the poor guy, and he sees that the poor guy, thanks to his poverty, was close to Hashem with his prayers and tears and requests and talking to him. And when he had problems, he was, Hashem, why you did it to me? I begged you this. That's already a huge level. When everything that happens to you, you go, Hashem, why? Why again? How many times I beg you? Even this is people don't realize what a merit is this to talk to Hashem. Just to open, and it's free, free of charge. You can do it around the clock. Every word you're speaking to him, it's a big mitzvah. Whether he listened to your prayers or not, it's another issue. But people don't recognize the most important thing. The mitzvah of speaking to Hashem, whether you're in a prayer or whether you're in your car, that's already billion times greater than if Hashem will give it to you or not, what you're asking for. You're asking for money, for children, for wealth. That's important, and sometimes he will listen to you. But whether he never accepts one of your prayers all your life, just the fact you talk to him, already it's a huge mitzvah. And you're going to get a huge reward for that. And you know what? When you come in front of Hashem, you say, you know what? I just realized one thing now. Thank you, Hashem, for not listening to my prayer about that specific manner. Because thanks to the fact that you didn't listen to me, I prayed 10 years for that boy, until I finally got it. For thanks to the fact that you didn't really listen to me in the beginning, I had the merit to talk to you 10 more years, hours, every day. Now when I see the reward you're giving me, then I'm a little bit even upset that you gave me the boy after 10 years. Why didn't you wait another 10 years? Because I would make so much more. But everything is the opposite. Remember, whatever you think is just the opposite. Why? Never dig into the ways of Hashem. Remember, when you got wealth, most of the time is against you, not for you. It will be for you if you're going to take it and do something spiritual with that. Most people, however, they don't do. Therefore, it's a poison in this life. They're eating poison every day. Again. And when you have... Remember, the things that you really need to gain righteousness, it's not so expensive. Everybody can have it. To sit and learn Torah, everyone can do. It doesn't cost money, especially today. You come to Yeshivot, they even pay you money to come to learn. So it's not like it used to be 2,000 years ago, you had to come with substantial amount of money. Hey, I want to learn Torah. And they check who you are, and not everyone is welcome. They have to check who you are. Today it's easy. Every one of you say, listen, you know what, I'll take a time out a week for my daily life. I want to come over to see what Torah, what is this great Torah that you're talking about it so much? You come a week, you eat, you sleep for free. Sometimes you even get financial help, you know, if you need. And you sit and learn, and you enjoy every second, and it's already more mitzvot than you're going to do in 7 years. And you don't realize it. And it's free of charge. And you're also making, you're earning. And the other person, he doesn't have time to come to learn. He has 10 offices, buildings, secretaries, meetings. Where does he have time to learn? But I know some wealthy people, no matter what happened, up to 12 o'clock, they're not in this world. Your phone is off. Nobody can reach them. Nobody. There's no emergency number. The secretary asks, excuse me, Mr. X, what happened if there's an emergency? I need to reach you at 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't you have a number, a private number that I can reach you? No. Up to 12, I'm dead. I'm not in this world. What happened if I would be in a hospital connected to machines and you had an emergency at 10 o'clock? What would you do? You call the doctor to stop the operation take the machines off that I can answer the phone and tell you what to do? No. You would understand that I'm not around, right? I'm not around. What happened if something happened to me between 7 in the morning to 12? That means I had to lose it. And that's why he came in that time. If I don't have to lose, it would come at 3 o'clock, the emergency. Because who sent the emergency? Hashem. So if Hashem knows that up to 12 o'clock my phone is off and I'm not around, the Torah is my life up to 12 o'clock. And he sent me the emergency anyway at that time, that's because he wanted me to lose for whatever reason that he found that it's correct. And if he didn't want me to lose, it would only be a test. He would send me the emergency at 2 o'clock and let me go work on it. Very simple. It's so much more simple. The Torah says, Ki lo rechoka mimcha. It's not so far the mission. It's not impossible. It's not beyond the ocean. It's not above the sky. Ki karov elecha davar meod. That's so close to you, in your heart and in your lips, in your mouth. Open up your mouth and talk to me. That's already word for you to live in this world, just to open your mouth and talk to me every day, a few hours. The more, the better. It's more important than anything else you do in your life. And it's free of charge, and it's not so difficult, and almost no one doing it. And the one who did it, David HaMelech, everybody until today, 3,000 years later, admire him, even Chinese. Chinese. I have a friend, he went to the gym, he saw a Chinese woman read Tehillim in English. Told her, what is this for you? King David, what do you mean? Very holy book. She will bow down to the cow, maybe, or to Buddha an hour later, but still, she knows what King David is. Thank you very much. Good night.